Good morning. This is working, right? Okay. I can't tell up here. Just for those who are listening on the radio, we are using Divine Service Setting 4, which starts on page 203 in our hymnals. And we're going to go ahead and begin with our opening hymn, number 907. The whole service is on the whiteboard for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sin, O Lord, who could stand?
But if you, there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all of our sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We continue reading the introit responsively. You open your hand.
You satisfy the desire of every living thing.
Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving.
Make melodies for our God and Mother.
He covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain for the earth.
He makes grass grow on the hills.
He gives to the beasts their food.
And to the young ravens their cry.
His delight is not in the strength of the horse,
nor his pleasure in the legs of man.
But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him,
in those who hope in his steadfast love.
Glory be
to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
You open your hand.
You satisfy the desire of every living thing.
We continue with the Kyrie. You.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, though we do not deserve your goodness, still you provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may acknowledge your gifts, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading this morning is taken from the prophet Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, beginning with the first verse. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people. You have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please speak along with me the gradual.
Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways. For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen.
The epistle this morning is from Ephesians, the second chapter, beginning with the 11th verse. Remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision, by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Continue with the Alleluia in verse. Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing, and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the two fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Having heard the gospel, let us now confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light,
very God of very God, begotten and not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us sin and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand.
Seated as we sing our next hymn, number 748.
Thank you.
going to all these different churches, sometimes I forget which side the pulpit's on, because last week it was over there. Grace, peace, and mercy to all of you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This text from Ephesians is a great text for all of us Gentiles to read often in our lives and think about all that we have to be thankful for. It's easy for us every day of our lives to get up and think about Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for us to save us from our sins, to pay the debt that we owe. But it's not always so easy for us to think of ourselves, first of all, as Gentiles. Secondly, of the fact that in the beginning, there was only one people of God, and then there were the people that were not of God, the Gentiles. But then Christ changed that too. He came along and he realized he had to carry out God's plan for all people. And in order for him to carry out the mission that he was sent to do in suffering and dying and rising again, paying for our sins, we, the Gentiles, had to be welcomed into his kingdom. Before that, we were shut out. Only the Israelites were God's people, not us. That Ephesians reading for today makes that very clear. We didn't know God. And because we didn't know God, we didn't want God, because we didn't feel that we needed him. Quite often in my ministry, when I'm in the hospital or in a nursing home with someone who is close to death and their spouse and their family are there, they ask me this question: how do people who don't know God, who don't believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, how do they deal with this, the death of a loved one? And you know something? That's one of those questions I can't answer. You know why? Because I do know Jesus Christ. I do believe in him. So only someone who didn't believe would be able to answer that. I guess in reflection as I read this text for today, I never really looked at my past as it's described in Ephesians, just like maybe many of you haven't either. It's very important that we realize what this text is talking about and who. It's talking about you and I. We're Gentiles. And it reminds us that there was a time when we were not part of God's family. And we didn't really want to be, because we didn't know God at all. And we certainly maybe heard people throw out the word Jesus Christ, hear him called a Savior, maybe even Savior of the world. But since we didn't know God and we didn't know Jesus, that meant nothing to Gentiles until Christ came. Then we were welcomed in. You know, I've noticed something, and I'm sure you have too, and I'm not getting political. I'm really not. But since a week ago yesterday, we all know what happened that day, Have you noticed a lot more people are talking about God? I have. Now, I don't know how long it'll last. I remember right after 9/11 happened, I was in Granton and Chile at the time. We opened up the church for people to come in and pray. Almost to the day, 30 days after 9/11, people quit coming. Up until then, there were a lot of people, even people that weren't members of that church, even people who didn't live in Wisconsin, were coming to that church and going in and praying for the people who had lost their lives on 9/11. How quick the world is to forget about God. But I think about times like that and this, what we're going through now with more and more people talking about God and giving glory to God and praising God. This is a real opportunity for us. And if we think about the fact that at one time, before Christ came, Gentiles were not part of God's house. Now that the world is talking a lot more about God, and I will be surprised if that lasts more than 30 days, it's a great opportunity for us to be talking about God. And to be telling people we know who don't know God, who are just like all Gentiles used to be, about God and about Christ. And maybe, just maybe, some of them will be more willing to listen now that more people of the world are talking about God and about Jesus. An opportunity for us. I think, and I have always told people this throughout my ministry, that there is a lot of bad things that go on in our lives, and we all know that. A lot of scary things that happen to people around us, and maybe not directly to us, but some of them happen to us. In our lives, loss of a loved one, loss of a job, loss of a home, a lot of homeless people in this country. Whatever it is that we've been struggling with, and I have seen so much of that in my ministry. And I have always seen God take that difficult thing and turn it into something good or make something good out of it. I'll give you an example. When I went on Vicarage, and I don't know how many of you really know what Vicarage is, the third year of school at the seminary, we are sent out from the seminary to churches all around the country. Some of the people have gone to places outside of the country. For most of us, it's to work underneath a pastor and learn from that pastor what ministry is all about. There are those who, in every class, who the seminary considers ready for ministry, even though we have another year after that to do, that we are fortunate enough, and I say that because I was one of those fortunate ones, to go to a vacancy. Now, the day that I was installed, now raise your hand if you've been here when a pastor at this congregation has been installed. I want to see how many of you have seen that. It's a big deal. Everybody wants to talk to that new pastor and his wife. It's very difficult to single out one person and be able to talk to them. But when the installation is coming to an end, the pastor that's been called, the new pastor, finishes the service. And I got up in front of the congregation as I finished the service, and I noticed a man standing in the back of the church. He had dark sunglasses on. His arm was in a sling. And he had a lot of scratches and marks on his face and arms. And I said to myself, you need to talk to this guy before this day's over with. There's something not so good going on in his life. And somehow God found time for me to be able to talk to Doug. It turns out Doug was a great guy, a great Christian, until he drank. Then he would beat his wife and kids severely. And this had been going on for quite some time, and of course I didn't know about it because this was my first day there. And he started beating on his kids because he was drunk. And his wife, being the good mother that she was, stepped in between him and the kids and let him beat on her to spare her children. She told the children to run outside and get in the car and lock the doors. And they did. And Mom got away from him and come running out, and they unlocked her door so she could get in. And she locked the door, started the car, and was going to leave with the kids. And Doug stood in front of the car, drunk and laughing. You're not going anywhere. She went. That's how terrified she was for herself and for her children. And she hit him. There were no charges brought against her for that, but that's why he was all banged up. Now, this was on my day of installation, which was a Sunday afternoon. Monday, I went over to his house to talk with him. I spent quite a bit of time with him. And I found out a lot about Doug, and I found out a lot about his family, and I found out that he was adopted, and his sister was adopted, and the couple that adopted him, the father had died, but the mother was still alive. Neither his sister nor his mother ever came to church. So we talked and we found out we had a lot of things in common. We both loved to fish, we both loved to hunt. And so before the day was over, we made plans to go hunting together and fishing together. And Wednesday night, about 10 o'clock, I got a phone call, and it was from Doug. I recognized his voice, and he said, help. And I said, what's going on? He said, I'm going to kill myself. And I tried to convince him. And I knew nothing about suicide at the time. But I'm talking to him, and I'm using scripture, and I'm doing everything I can trying to convince him not to do anything until I could get to his house, because I knew his house was 25 minutes away from the parsonage. I'd been there. So he finally convinced me that he wouldn't do anything until I got there, and I got over to his house a little after 10:30 at night, and he was sitting on the ground in the driveway with a cell phone in one hand and a loaded pistol in the other. Now, I'm no hero. I'm not trying to paint myself as a hero. All the way there, knowing nothing about suicide or what to say to people who are trying to commit suicide, I prayed to God. And I said, please give me the right words to say, because I don't know what I'm going to say to this guy. But I can't let him kill himself. I sat on the ground with him in the driveway and we started talking. And to be honest with you, after I left there, I didn't have a clue what I had said to him. So I really truly believe, and this isn't to say that I'm special, because I'm not, that the Holy Spirit gave me the right words to say to him, and he finally handed that gun to me at 7:00 in the morning. And we started talking about fishing and hunting, and I told him I would try to find places that could help him with his depression and maybe prevent him from committing suicide, but I'd been there 4 days. I didn't know where there was any place like that around. And so he said, okay, he wouldn't do anything. I got a hold of a friend of his, and that friend went over to his house and removed all the guns from his house. And unfortunately, 6 weeks later, I was getting ready to go over and visit Doug again, and the police chief pulled in and told me Doug had committed suicide. And I'm not going to tell you how he did it, because sometimes that gives people ideas, and I'm not going to do that. I did his funeral. And usually after I do a funeral for someone that I know really well, I've spent a lot of time with, the next day I take off and I go out walking in the woods, talking to God, and getting my feelings out, which you know is important to do. I was furious with Doug. I had tried everything I knew to get him help, and he never took me up on it. He said he was, but he didn't. That was a terrible thing to have to deal with as a vicar at a church. But you know what happened out of that terrible thing? After the funeral, his mother came up to me, his sister came up to me, and we talked for a while after the committal. And he was buried in the cemetery right there at the church. And we talked for a long time. And they came back to God's house. And they never missed a Sunday. So as terrible as that tragedy was with Doug, God used it to bring his mother and his sister back to God. We never know when we're going to have an opportunity as Christians to share with people who don't believe or people who are hurting the love of God. And I think this text from Ephesians, talking about God sending his son here, not just to save us from the punishment we deserve for our sins, but to bring us into a relationship and to introduce us perfectly to who God is. And now we know that, and we understand God's love for us, and we understand God's grace to bring us into a right relationship with Him when we had not been part of that. I believe we need to, and we are doing that a lot, recognize and focus on what Jesus has done for us on the cross and in the resurrection. But it's important that we recognize that He brought us into a relationship with God that we were not part of before. Sometimes we don't think about that. So through this reflection on our past and our focus on our present and the future, I believe our faith can't help but grow and maybe even flourish. And we can and should praise and thank our God, for He's the one who gave that to us and continues to give. And welcome all those who are part of the body of Christ that we worship with. And maybe, just maybe, at this time when people are talking about God, introduce them to the God they're talking about, so they too can live under His grace and His love. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, abide with us always. Amen. We continue now with the prayer of the church. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O God, You have purchased and obtained us as Your flock by the shedding of Your blood. Keep Your sheep from all arrogance, from short-sightedness, and from the many wolves that prowl and seek our harm. Shepherd us continually by Your word. Lord, in Your mercy.
Hear.
Gracious Lord, keep us from the false comfort of worldly wisdom, that we may rely on Your truth as a rock and foundation amid the shifting sand of doubt and fear. Lord, in Your mercy.
Hear.
Almighty God, fill all governing authorities with fear of You, and let their service foster and preserve peace. Have mercy on our people and country. Let our youth be brought up in discipline and in right knowledge of You, that they may recognize both Your law and the way of Your salvation. Lord, in Your mercy.
Hear.
Merciful God, You are a fortress to Your people. In Your temple, we think of Your steadfast love in Christ. Hear us on behalf of all who need healing, strength, and comfort, especially all of those that we name in our hearts at this time. Defend them from the attacks of the evil one, and cause them to join in Your praise. Lord, in Your mercy. O God, You have purchased and obtained us by shedding of Your blood, giving us a great hunger and thirst for the life-giving food of Your blessed sacrament. Keep unbelief and impenitence far from those who come to Your table. Unite us in the fellowship of the pure teaching of the gospel of the apostles and the prophets, that we may give no offense and bring no division, but eat and drink in faith for the forgiveness of sins in the unity of a true confession. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have brought us to the knowledge of your word. Graciously keep us steadfast in this knowledge unto death, that we may obtain eternal life. Send us pious pastors who will faithfully preach your word without offense or falsehood, and grant them long life. Defend us from all false teachings, and frustrate those who pervert your word, who would come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves, that your true church may be established among us always and be defended and preserved from such false teachers. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him.
Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, continue with the prayer of thanksgiving. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet, in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory,
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night that he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for the forgiveness of all your sins. Now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith unto life everlasting.